Father, we thank you for this time together to worship you with our songs, prayer, and offerings. As we open up your word now, may the Holy Spirit open up our ears and our hearts and teach us to understand your word. May you soften our hearts to receive the message you are going to give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At some point in our life, have you ever asked questions like, what is life? Or what is the meaning of life? What is the purpose of life? Or simply you ask, why am I here? When life is going on routinely and so boring, when you do the same thing every day, or when you have to wake up maybe 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning, in the winter morning, you know, and you're trapped in the traffic jam to go to work. Or like me, I used to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning to prepare breakfast and get my children ready to go to school. And still I got complaints like the eggs are too hard, the toast, the bread is not crispy enough, or the milk is too hot, something like that. If you are stuck in the routine life, or if somebody hurts you, when your children are driving you crazy, or somebody else, your boss maybe driving you crazy, when life is so boring and you find yourself getting nowhere, have you ever asked yourself, what is life? There's a writer, it's by the name of... Can I use this? Yep, it's on. Shalom Aleichem. The name itself means peace be with you. Of course, this is not his actual name. Shalom Aleichem, he is a Jewish writer. He once described life as a blister on top of a tumor and a boy on top of that. You know, in Cantonese, I can express in Cantonese maybe better, is 肿瘤上面有一个水泡上面有一粒疮. Can you just imagine how painful this is? Well, this is life. There are many scriptures in the Bible that talks about life, but there is one particular book, I think the older we get, the more we can understand or agree to what it says about life. That is the book of Ecclesiastes. I will be preaching a series of sermons on Ecclesiastes, I think about 11 or 12 sermons. Unless, of course, if you find my English too hard to understand. Okay. So how did the author of Ecclesiastes describe life? The version I use is NASB, the New American Standard Bible. The NASB... the translation is vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Or in the NIV version is meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. The word vanity appears 38 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. And the word vanity means emptiness, futility. Can you just praise for me? Because I cannot control this. Okay. Emptiness, futility, vapor, or that which vanishes quickly and leaves nothing behind. When you were young, or at least when I was young, I couldn't possibly understand or agree that life is meaningless. To me, life was full of adventures, challenges, and excitements. But now, at this age, as I look back into my life, I think I'm starting to agree with the author that life is vanity, or all is vanity. Who exactly is the author of the book of Ecclesiastes? He is a person who says that life is but a breath or a vapor. What kind of person, what kind of people would say something like that? The name of the author is not mentioned in the book itself, but through the description in the book, most people agree that the preacher or the author of the book of Ecclesiastes is King Solomon. In verse 1 and verse 12, The Bible says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Or I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem. And later in the scripture, he talked about his riches, his life, his wives, and his wisdom. In the Bible, in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 23, the Bible says, so King Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. Vanity of vanities, all is vanities. It makes a big difference where this word comes from. If these words were to come from you or me, would anyone believe what we say? I don't think so, right? Solomon began his reign as a king, as a humble servant of the Lord, seeking God's wisdom and help. But the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 11, for it came about when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods. And his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. Ecclesiastes appears to be the kind of book a person will write near the end of his life, when he's reflecting on his life's experiences and the lessons that he has learned from his life. Solomon also wrote the other two books, that is, the Proverbs and the Song of the Solomon. But he probably wrote Proverbs and the Song of Songs during the years when he was still faithfully walking with God. But near the end of his life, he wrote Ecclesiastes. He wrote Proverbs from the viewpoint of a wise teacher. And he wrote the Song of Solomon from the viewpoint of a royal lover. But when he wrote Ecclesiastes, he called himself the preacher. What is the preacher trying to tell us? Or what is his message to our generation? The phrase under the sun or under heaven appears 29 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. Obviously, the preacher is trying to tell us about something that is happening under the sun. One of the writers, G. Campbell Morgan, in his book Unfolding Message of the Bible, he summarizes Solomon's outlook like this. This man had been living through all these experiences under the sun, concerned with nothing above the sun, until there came a moment in which he had seen the whole of life and there was something over the sun. Take note of this, the following sentence. It is only as a man takes account of that which is over the sun, as well as that which is under the sun, that things under the sun are seen in their true light. It is only as a man takes account of that which is over the sun, as well as that which is under the sun, that things under the sun are seen in their true light. As Solomon was exploring, trying to find out what advantages does man have in all his work, which he does under the sun, he discovered some truths about life. In the first chapter of the Ecclesiastes, Solomon came to at least three conclusions about things under the sun. The first conclusion is, under the sun, nothing is changed. From verses 4 to 7, Solomon describes some of the things that happen under the sun. In verse 4, it talks about the earth. Here we can see that men are only pilgrims on earth. We only live for a short while. Nobody stays here forever, but the earth remains forever. In verse 5, it talks about the sun. The description here is as if the earth is flat. So when the sun sets in the evening on the western side, it has to go all the way back to the eastern side to rise again in the next morning. Verse 6, it talks about the wind. From the visible east-west movement of the sun, Solomon now turns to the invisible north-south movement of the wind. The wind is constantly moving and changing direction, and yet it is still the wind. The super typhoon Haiyan, which caused a lot of damages to the Philippines, did it disappear after it sweep over the islands? Of course, we know that it doesn't disappear. It is still out there somewhere. It just changes its courses and the speed. It's still there. It's still the wind. In verse 7, he talks about the river, the sea, or the water. Scientists tell us that at given times, 97% of all the water on Earth is in the ocean, and only 0.001% is in the air or in the atmosphere. The amount of water never changes. It keeps circulating. At a glance, it seems that there are a lot of activities going on in this world, but in fact, everything just goes back to its original position. Whenever we say cycle, it means that the beginning and the end is on the same spot. It's just repeating itself again and again. Therefore, when the preacher examined life and nature, he came to the conclusion that under the sun, nothing is changed. The second conclusion that he got from his observation is that nothing is new. If nothing changes, then it is reasonable to conclude that nothing in the world is new. How could this be possible, you may ask? We are surrounded by new things every day, right? iPhone 5C or even 5S, iPad Mini 2, or like me, I'm using Galaxy Note. Now it's Galaxy Note 3. Mine is Note 2. New technology, new invention, lots and lots of new things surrounding us. Men want something new. What is the reason? The Bible says, because all things are wearisome and man is not able to tell it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. But is there really anything new under the sun? The truth is, whatever is new is simply a recombination of the old. Man cannot create new things, because man himself is a creature and not the creator. In verse 9, the Bible says that which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun. One of the world's greatest inventors, Thomas Edison, he said that his invention was only bringing out the secrets of nature and applying them for the happiness of mankind. Nothing is new. An inventor does not create new things. He is just putting some existing elements together to make something. A Stoic philosopher by the name of Marcus Aurelius, he wrote that they that came after us, they come after us, will see nothing new, and they who went before us saw nothing more than we have seen. How and when would we realize what Marcus said was right? The only way for us to understand this is to live long enough. I remember there is an old closet in my mother's room. When I was young, it looked like a treasure to me because my mother kept a lot of old things inside. There were especially a lot of clothes which my sisters, wait for some time and then just put it aside. Because one of my sister was a good tailor, and I have five elder sisters, so we have a lot of beautiful clothes. We would just pick up a fashion magazine and point to my sister and say, "I want this." And a few days later, the clothes in the magazine would actually be on us. You know? 90% resemblance. So we had a lot of clothes, and my mother used to keep all these clothes. I used to ask him, I asked her why she kept all those old clothes. And she told me that one day these clothes will be fashion again. I remember seeing some of these clothes in the old closet. And believe it or not, I actually have some of those in my closet now. These styles have become trendy again recently. So, well, in summertime, I will wear some of this. and you will see that, you know, all things become new again. My mother is a wise woman, right? Unfortunately, no, about 10 years ago, my mother threw away some of the clothes, or most of them, because the closet became too crowded. So if you live long enough, the old things will become new things again. Like the Bible says in verse 10, is there anything of which one might say, see this, it is new. Already it has existed for ages which were before us. Nothing is changed and nothing is new under the sun. The third conclusion is nothing is understood. From the historical point of view, Solomon now turns to philosophy. One of the things we remember about Solomon is that he prayed for wisdom and God gave him the wisdom. Solomon used his wisdom to do like what he says in verse 13 and verse 17, and I set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom concerning all that has been done under heaven. And I set my mind to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. What is his conclusion after all his seeking? In verse 17, he says, I realize that this also is striving after wind. The original word for striving after wind means to tame or to train the wind so that it will listen to your instruction. Will it be possible for us to tame the wind and make it listen to us? We all know that it's impossible. As one of the cleverest men in the world, Solomon realized that he could not use his wisdom to solve all the problems and to understand all the things that happen under the sun. Socrates, the great philosopher, said, the only true wisdom is in knowing that you know nothing. In other words, the more knowledge we have, the more we should realize how ignorant we are. I wonder if this was the reason that whenever I went to see specialists, they would always tell me, I don't know what's happening to you. I don't know what's the cause of your illness. I could only guess it's because of this or that. As the author of the book of Ecclesiastes, the preacher King Solomon explored the things under the sun and he came to three conclusions. Under the sun, there is no change, there is nothing new, and nothing is understood. It sounds so negative. Did Solomon write Ecclesiastes just to make us feel more disappointed or more helpless about our life? If we are to leave God out of our life, it will be true that we are helpless and life is meaningless. But as in the beginning of my sermon I mentioned, it is only as a man takes account of that which is over the sun as well as that which is under the sun that things under the sun are seen in their true light. In the first chapter of Ecclesiastes, the preacher does not give us any answer. But later in this book, if you are going to bear with me, we will find the answers in the Ecclesiastes. Although there is no answer in the first chapter, we will look at other scriptures in the Bible to see what God is going to tell us. The Bible tells us that although there is nothing new or nothing is changed in this world, but God can change and make things new. Although nature seems to be a closed cycle, God does break into nature and do great things and wonderful things. He does hear and answer a prayer and work on behalf of his people. In the Bible, in Joshua chapter 10, God held the sun in place so Joshua could finish an important battle. And in Isaiah chapter 38, he moved the sun back as a sign to King Hezekiah. In Exodus, and is in the book of Joshua, he opened up the Red Sea and the Jordan River for the Israel. And in 1 Kings chapter 17, he turned off the rain for Elijah, and then he turned it on again, as written in James chapter 5. He calmed the sea and the waves for the disciples, which is in Mark chapter 4. Most important of all, when we believe in Jesus Christ and become the children of God, we no longer live in a closed system. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, why don't we just read together this verse 17. 1, 2, 3. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away, behold, new things have come. And in Romans chapter 6, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. All things have passed away. We have become new creature, and God make us walk in newness of life. In Psalms chapter 40, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. And in Ezekiel chapter 36, moreover, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And when the day of judgment comes, the Bible says in Revelation, and he who sits on the throne say, behold, I'm making all things new. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Although the nature is a closed cycle, but God can change and make things new. The Bible also tells us that our life is built upon the promises of God. We may not have the answer to everything that happened in our life. Why do innocent people in the Philippines have to suffer in natural disasters? Why do the children of God have to go through so much hardship? Or why do bad things happen to good people? We may not have any answer to these questions, but there are two things that we know for sure. The first is God is not obligated to give us an explanation for everything. In fact, if God were to answer all your questions or to explain all your doubts, the possibility is that you might not totally understand. The second thing we know for sure is that God has ordained that his people live by promises and not by explanations, by faith and not by sight. As Jesus said to Thomas, blessed are they who did not see and yet believe. Blessed are those who did not see and yet believe. We are the ones that have not seen, but yet we believe. For some people, life may be monotonous and meaningless. But for us as a Christian, life is an open door, not a closed circle. We can experience new blessings from the Lord every day. True, we cannot explain everything. But life is not built on explanation. It's built on promises. And we have plenty of promises in God's words. Do you know how many promises there are in the Bible? Huh? Make a guess. How many promises we have in the Word of God? 300? 1,000? Huh? According to statistics, there are 7,000 promises in the Bible. Is it awesome? How many of them have you actually claimed out of that 7,000? So our life is built on the promises of God, not on explanation. As a conclusion, the scientist tells us that the world is a closed system and nothing is changed. The historian tells us that life is a closed book and nothing is new. The philosopher tells us that life is a deep problem and nothing is understood. But what does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And he has miraculously broken into history to bring new life to all who trust in him. Like what is said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Let us read again this verse loudly to confirm our faith in the Lord. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. Let us bow and pray. Father, we thank you for renewing our life and making us into new creatures. We thank you for bringing new meanings and new blessings into our life. We pray that you will help us to live out this new life and experience you as a living God. Help us to live on your promises and to claim your promises by faith. Help us to glorify your name in our daily life so that others will be drawn to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.